take our Bibles and open up to 1 Samuel in chapter 19. This will be the second time that I'm preaching about David. And trust me, I don't have anything against David, but this will be the second message that I'm preaching about David where he messed up. So, but David is one of my favorite Bible characters. And did I say 19? I meant 1 Samuel 21. And we'll start in verse 1. We'll read all the way through the entire chapter. And let's start. Verse 1. Then came David to Nob to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business, whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, There is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, Of a truth, women have been kept from us about 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord, to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdsmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it. There is no other save that here. And David said, There is none like that. Give it me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid upon these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad on their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? Today, I'd like to talk to you about, are you in Gath? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to come and worship you. Lord, today, please help me. Help me to say what you have and what you want. Lord, bless this service and help the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Warren Wiersbe had an interesting quote about this chapter. He said, The fear of Saul temporarily replaced David's faith in God. And you see this here. David could no longer rely on being that shepherd boy that was a great warrior that killed Goliath. He could no longer rely on the women singing in the streets his praises about how he killed the 10,000s of Philistines. He could not even rely on being the man after God's own heart and how he was faithful and true to God, because he chose to lie. Today we see, in chapter 19, we'll see Saul attempting David's life by throwing a javelin at David. David runs away. Jonathan lies on David's behalf at the next meeting about where he was. Then we see Jonathan and David meeting together inside of chapter 20, and Jonathan is telling him, you need to go away. Now we come to chapter 21, and we see David going to Nob. Now, we know that David had a love and an affection for the house of God. He says time and time again in Psalms, also inside of 2 Samuel, he desired to have the temple built, but God told him, hey, you need to wait. We'll have your son build it. He also said inside of Psalms 26 that he loved the house of the Lord and they that dwelt therein. David had a love for God and a love for the house of the Lord. So he travels down the Nob. Now, the Bible doesn't say specifically that he traveled there just to go and see the priest. But because of his affection for the house of God, I believe he did. I believe that he went down there searching for counsel, searching for nourishment, searching for protection. And the response of the priest was that he was afraid at the meeting of David. Now, the reason why he was afraid of this meeting was because the king, if David would have been on a mission for the king, he would have had a whole entourage with him of soldiers waiting to protect David in case they had to go into battle. But David was by himself. Later inside the chapter, we see that David had some men back far away, kind of protecting the place. But right now, all Ahimelech knows is David is by himself, and if he would have been on a mission for the king, he would have had men. So he knew something was wrong. So Ahimelech, what we know from him inside this passage is he was a godly man. He wasn't just someone that was a priest that was corrupted by the culture that was around him. This was a man, the Bible says that he had the showbread that was laid out. Inside of Leviticus, it says every single Sabbath day, you would replace the showbread with the new showbread. It says that the bread was there warming. So this man, Ahimelech, had a love and a desire for the law and for the commandments that God had. So for David to come to him and to tell him a bold-faced lie and say, I am about the king's business, was wrong. David here was not relying on the fact that God was his help and that God was his faith. He was instead relying on his own strength, and the only thing that he could think of was, this man's afraid of me, I have to lie. Instead of relying on the God that helped him conquer Goliath, he's relying on his lies. And not only do we see him doing this one time, we see him later inside the chapter lying to him again about why he didn't have a sword with him. So here we see the priest said, I have no common bread. I only have the showbread. The showbread was a specific offering set aside for God because of his power, because of his sovereignty, and because of his protection. And the priest said, well, if your men are clean, if they have stayed away from women, then you can have some of it. So David says, I need 5 loaves. And he goes and he gets the bread and he also says, I need a weapon. He said, a sword or a spear. And the priest said, I have no spear. I have no sword except for Goliath's sword. And this was the same sword that you used. Now, for David to be in this situation, I honestly believe he was at a good place. This priest was here desiring to help him with his nourishment, desiring to help him with his protection. He was seeking their refuge, and he was at a good place. But we can see David's motives and David's heart was at a wrong place. Here we see, and I believe this, it says, I believe that God was using this sword as a way to trigger David's memory. Now, David, at his own words, said, you have a sword and a spear, but I come in the name of God. Back when he was fighting Goliath, he said that to Goliath. And all he came and attacked him with was a sling. But now we see David's urgency and what he is depending on when he is away from God in his spiritual life, and he's saying, I have to have a sword. I believe God here is sending him subtle reminders that at one point you used to rely on me. But now that you're relying on yourself, here's the same sword that you used to kill Goliath. Now the Bible says that there was a man there that watched this happen. His name was Doeg. He was an Edomite, the descendant of Esau. But it also had one interesting thing. It said that he was the chief herdsman of Saul. David, in two verses later, says, I have to flee because I'm afraid of Saul. I have fear of Saul. I believe David saw this man, and he recognized that Doeg was the chief herdsman of Saul. And that when he saw Doeg sitting there, he's like, oh boy, he's going to recognize me. He knows that something's up. I need to go and tell Saul about David taking the bread, taking the sword. So David, inside of his fear, not relying on God, but inside of his fear, says, I'm going to leave this place because of what someone else did. So what does he do? He gathers his stuff together and he travels 26 miles south of Nod to a place called Gath, the same place where Goliath was from. Now, David's own words said, there is no sword like it. So he goes and he comes in and he's parading through the streets of Gath, and then all of a sudden you start hearing whispers. Is that David? That's Goliath's sword. That's the conqueror. That's David. What is David doing here? Then you can see the women saying, wait, they sang in the streets about how Saul killed his thousands, but David has tens of thousands. And those were Philistines. How dare David seek refuge inside of our town? So David hears these men. And again, says, fear of Achish the king. Responds in a fleshly way to something that he should have been depending on God through his faith in him to tell him what he should be doing. He shouldn't have been going off of his emotions, off of his fear. He should have been relying on God Almighty, but instead he's relying on, I'm afraid of this king. So the first thing that pops in his head is, the sweet psalmist of David having drool run down that sacred beard that the Jews cherished. Also, the man after God's own heart is now scrabbling at the door, scratching it. David, the mighty warrior, is screaming through the streets, acting like a madman. And why? Because of his fear. Because he was at a good place, but he was at a wrong place in his spiritual thinking. The priest was good. It was the man of God. It was the house of God. He received nourishment, protection. It was good. But he had a wrong mindset. Now we see him down in Gath. What is he? He's getting taken to the king. His mentality is still wrong. He's afraid. He's fearful of man instead of relying on a fear of God. But now he's inside of a wrong place geographically too. It's not just about being in a good spot physically. We need to be at a good spot spiritually too. So we see here David, the king says to him, David's acting like a madman. And the king says to him, what if I have a madman? I have plenty of mad people. I don't need this guy. And that's ludicrous. There's no way that the mighty man of David would have ever had been released by Gath, the king of Gath, the mayor of Gath. But God, inside of his mercy, not through David's lying, was David able to get out of this? But through God's mercy to him, he made a way for David to get out of this situation. Today, we are at a good place. Physically, 113 Foxborough Drive, Faith Baptist Church, we are at a good place. But spiritually, God told Samuel, man looketh on the outward appearance, but I look on the heart. It's not enough for us to be in a good place. We have to be in a good place spiritually too. We can be here, we can be serving, we can even look the part, we can sing the songs, we can be talk about being blessed, but if our heart's not in it, we're not going to know how to respond. We're not going to know how, when fear arises, if we should act fleshly or if we should act spiritually, it won't make sense to us. And then the flesh is weak, so it's going to want to desire to be fed. So we're at a good spot. We have a pastor that's going through verse by verse. That's not heard of anymore. We have doctrines that we stand for. I was in college back this past semester. A group of my friends were together, and they were looking. They had to do a "What do we believe?" paper for a church, because we have one of those on our website. And they were going through their church, through another church, one of our home church Southwest. And then they're like, "Andrew, what's your church? We're going to look up yours." Our church had more doctrinal beliefs than what all the other churches had. Right here, we're at a good spot. But we have to be at a good spot spiritually. See, you might say, "You know what? I don't need to be at a good spot spiritually. As long as I'm here and I am doing what I'm supposed to, everyone thinks I'm all right, I'm not affecting anyone else." That's wrong. It's a lie. Because we see clearly inside of the scripture that Doeg saw exactly what David was doing. And inside the next chapter over, we see Doeg going and telling King Saul exactly what happened. Now, yes, did Saul make a decision out of anger? Yes. Was it David's actions that fueled some of that anger? Yes. 85 priests were murdered because of a decision. Now, it was Saul's decision to kill the men. It was not all David's fault. But if it wasn't for his actions of taking the bread and the sword, Doeg would have never had seen what was going on. Doeg would have never had saw that David was there. So your actions just don't affect you personally. They affect all of us. We as a church should be unified, growing together, being blessed. But we can't do that if we're wrong spiritually, but right geographically. So today, what are we going to do about it? This is something that I go up and down inside of my life all the time, especially at Bible college. It's so easy to get in the flesh and just be upset, hold grudges at people, not want to serve, not want to be a part, and just kind of just take a back seat. But it just doesn't affect us. We all have to be together, and we all have to be striving forth to the goal to reach the world for Christ, because that's why we're here. God would have taken us out if not. So today, David, just 5 days earlier, 5 or 6 days earlier, maybe a week, was at a good spot spiritually, at a good spot geographically in Saul's kingdom. A few days later, it says 3 days inside the Bible, so he would have been running for at least 3 days. He was then at a good spot spiritually, a good spot geographically, but a bad spot spiritually. And then just a few days later, he was at a bad spot spiritually and a bad spot geographically. It only takes a few days. It could be a year, it could be a month, it could be a week, it could be a day before you end up inside a spot that you don't want to be. And you're like, how could I get here? How could David end up in Gath, literally carrying the sword that Goliath had? Well, it's because his heart wasn't right. So today, we have to be right. It reaches so far out. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to dedicate ourselves to it and to live fully in it. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get our Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Thank you, Brother Andrew, for the message. It is an interesting thought. David told lies. And when somebody tells a lie, they usually don't care about how other people feel or how it affects others. So many times if we tell ourselves, making up lies is not going to really hurt anything. You think about it, he's in the house of God telling a lie. That's a dangerous place. He shouldn't tell a lie anywhere, but sitting in church telling a lie, that was a that's something to really consider in the story, him being, you can see his heart there and the message being in the right spot. Okay, mine's really simple. Andrew took up all my time, so no, he did a good job. We gave him a certain amount of time. He stayed right in it. We're thankful for that. So my thought is, when lots of times we consider what the new year looks like and considers what is it that I want to do? What is it that I want to accomplish? What is it that I like to see happen in my life in 2023? And I don't think there's anything wrong with that per se. People have New Year's resolutions. People have different things and goals. But I think the most important thing is this: instead of saying, what do I want? I think the question should be is, what does God want for my life? And I would like to just sit for a second or two and just encourage you today to give 2023 over to the Lord. And you say, well, he has given you a new year. Well, who does it belong to anyway? It belongs to the Lord. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, some very familiar verses, very powerful verses, verses we don't often like to quote, but when we consider our own lives, do we really look at it that way? Verse 19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and here's that phrase, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So when I see that verse, once again, it's familiar, it's powerful, it's challenging. It means that we really don't belong to ourselves. We've been bought by a price. And when we're looking at our body, we're looking at our lives, we're looking at our opportunities, we're looking at our blessings, we're looking at our future, we're looking, it encompasses, in my mind, all of it. So when I'm thinking about 2023, hey, what is it I'd like to do? Maybe I want to lose some weight. Nobody say amen. Maybe I want to learn how to turn Siri off. Maybe I'd like to do this financially. Obviously, there are spiritual things I would like to do and accomplish as an individual and as a pastor and as a church family. People we like to see saved, all these different things. But the encouragement is, hey, is this your year or is this the year that God's given you to use the way he wants it done? Because if he says here clearly, ye are not your own at the end of verse number 19, for ye are bought with a price. So since you're not your own and you've been bought with a price, what's the reaction? Therefore, glorify means lift the Lord up, magnify the Lord, glorify God. Okay, yeah, I should do that. I should do that on Sundays. I should do that in my spirit. I should do that. No, he encompasses it all. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So inwardly, make sure you're glorifying the Lord. Inwardly, with our attitudes and with the way that we feel and all those things, glorify God. Outwardly, in our bodies, glorify God. Let our bodies be used, as it talks about in Romans chapter 12, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. So the consideration is, who does 2023 belong to? Who do we belong to? Is this really my body to do what I want? And I know some people say, it's my body, I'll do what I want with it. Especially when you think about the abortion crowd. It's my body, I'll do it. And then there's two heartbeats. There's two different people that are alive with that. But that's a whole other thought. But when it comes to our Christian lives and how we view things, it's my body. Unless it means something different. But that's what he says there. Look at the beginning, 19, he says, what? And then he says, know ye not. He says, don't you know this? And the truth of the matter is, the reality is, if you've been in churches, at least churches similar to ours, we've heard this verse before. He's saying to this, don't you already know this? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You have the Holy Ghost living within you, and which you have of God. And he says, you don't belong to yourself. And so when I'm thinking about 2023, I'm thinking, okay, hey, I want to do this, and I want to accomplish this, and I like to see this happen. I like to do this financially. I like to do this physically. I like to do this spiritually. I like to do this emotionally. I like to do, and I set these goals up, and I set all these things up. But the question is, God, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want this body of mine that belongs to you to do this upcoming year? What is it that you want this spirit that belongs to you to do this upcoming year? Because we all say, well, I would really like to learn how to, I really like to run a 4-minute mile. I don't think that's happening for me anytime soon. I really like to, and like I said, there's nothing wrong with consideration. There's nothing wrong with goals. I don't think there's anything wrong with resolutions, but the question should be, and always should be, what is it that God desires for me? Because I have a long list of things that I would like to do. I have a long list of things I would like to accomplish. I have a long list of things that I believe is right, because in my mind, it's my body. All these things are right. This is what I should do. This is what I should be learning. This is what I should be reading. This is what I should be trying to accomplish. This is what I... But he says, so look, this is not just you. I should be given that consideration, because it doesn't belong to you. Sometimes when we go away, I know I've used this example before, but I think it works. We talk about, we let somebody watch your dog. We have some wonderful people that help us watch your dog. Very thankful for those people. And pretty much, I don't really care what they do with the dog, so they could keep the dog. But they care about what we would want done to the dog. They're thankful. They take better care of the dog than probably I would. Obviously, my wife and the boys take care better. But they're not going to turn around and treat it badly because it doesn't belong to them. And the reality is, we should not take and treat our lives badly because it doesn't belong to them. I've been bought with a price. I should want to glorify. I should want to lift God up. I should want to have people see Jesus in me. And all these times of what I'm doing, not only inwardly, with this, my thinking, my emotions, my all those different things, but also outwardly with my actions and all those things. Because I know we heard Andrew sing earlier about, do they see Jesus in me? Is that really our desire? I think that would be God's desire for us this year, that people would see Christ, that we would let our light shine, and that they would glorify our Father, which is in heaven. But it all comes down to this. Is it really my year to choose? Now, I know we have to make decisions. You're going to have to make decisions about where you're going to work at. You're going to make decisions about bills you're going to pay if you're in school. I got to make decisions. But they're not always our decisions to make. Instead, they should be filtered through and asking this question, what is your will? And I know the theme is from last year is knowing and understanding the will of the Lord. And the will of the Lord is to say, hey, you should be asking me. I have a plan. I have a purpose for your life. I have something that I desire for you to do. And it's not, you put whatever the other word is. It's not doing only what you think is right and best for yourself, because you don't belong to yourself. Let's take our Bible now to Romans chapter 12, and something similar, but I want you to see these verses just to reiterate. I think that it would be a wonderful thing if we said, God, thank you for letting me be alive in 2023. However long I'm going to be here, if I'm here all year, that's wonderful. Lord, I'm going to give this year back to you. It's not my year anyway. It's yours. This is not my body anyway. This is your body. Now, what is it you want me to do with it? Do you want me to... And there's the blank. Do you want me to give? Do you want me to sing? Do you want me to serve? What is it you want me to do? Because so many times we put all that in a little window and say, okay, what is it that I would like to do? And what is it that I would enjoy being a part of? And what is it that I should do? And we think, hey, I got the perfect solution of what I should be doing for the Lord. But we never ask him. Look what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. He says, I beseech you. And it's encouragement, but more than encouragement, it's almost like begging. I'm begging you to listen to this. He says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, based off of God's mercy in your life, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's kind of saying the same thing. It belongs to the Lord anyway, that we give it back to him and say, here you go, Lord. Here's 2023, and here's my body. What is it you want me to do? That's kind of peculiar, isn't it? But that's exactly what that blessed man's doing when he's delighting in the law of the Lord. He's peculiar. He's different. He's got something that's an understanding that a lost person will never know. He's got something that a carnal Christian will never understand. Because they don't see it. They don't get it. They get the counsel of the ungodly because of the fact that they don't think that way. It's like David and Andrew's story. You know, he came and he thought, I could tell a lie to get away with it. No, he can't. That's not what God can bless. And it's amazing how God reminded him and reminded him and reminded him all along the way, but he felt like he had to do it his own way. He didn't go before the Lord and say, God, will you please tell me what you want me to do? Because I don't think God would have told him to lie and then told him to lie again. And then I'm confident God went and told him to go to the Philistines. You know, the thought of him going out to the wilderness is a hard thing and it's a hard spot. But if he would ask God at the beginning, God could have directed him out to the wilderness to begin with. And it might have been a dangerous spot. It might have been, how can God protect me out there? But where does God protect him at? He protects him in the wilderness. Where does God take and bring Saul right to the cave where he's at so David can cut off a piece of his clothing? Right in the wilderness. You say, well, I don't really particularly want to be in the wilderness. I don't think anybody really does. But if that's what God says, this is God's year, this is God's body that he's given us to use for his honor and for his glory, then we should say, what is it you want me to do? I really want to do this. I'd like to not be faithful. I'd like to not forgive. I'd like to be able to have an attitude. I'd like to do this. I'd like to do that. I'd like to be able to feed my flesh. Those are all things that we desire to do. Those are all the flesh that pulls us away. But when you look at it and say, okay, God, this year really doesn't belong to me because my life really doesn't belong to me. I want to offer it to you as a living sacrifice. Here it is. Now you tell me what you want me to do. You show me what you want me to do. You give me direction of what you want me to do. So my encouragement to this year to you is a very simple, very short challenge. Is give 2023 to the Lord. Okay, I'll give it to him. That doesn't mean you just give the year to him. It's by you saying, Lord, here's my body. And in 2023, I want you to lead and direct me. I'm not going to question you when times become fearful. Like when I see the Doegs, I'm not going to go tell them the lies. When I see uncertainty, I'm going to do what I believe is right and the challenges that are right. And I'm just, and once again, he says here at the end, you say, Pastor, that seems a little too much. It seems a little too intense. It seems like a little too unrealistic. And what he says at the end, you know what? This is your reasonable service. It's not asking too much for you to look at it that way. So when I come to church, I'm coming with my own thoughts in mind. No, I'm coming to say, hey, God, what would you want me to do with my body? What is it that you would want me to say? What is it that, how would you want me to sing, Lord? How is it that you would want me to serve? How is it that you would want me to greet someone? How is it that you would want me to deal with that person I have a problem with that I don't really want to get it right? Because that's what it boils down to. That's what the connections look like. How is it that I can, you know, Lord, here's my body. These are my hands. These are my feet. No, Lord, these are your hands and your feet. It's your mouth. This is your mind. Use it for your honor and your glory. Whatever that looks like. I would encourage and challenge you today. Who does 2023 belong to? And do we really look at it as our lives and our body? Or is it really his life that he's given us? He's the only reason why we're here. And he's the only reason why we're here today. And if we make it all the way to 2023, which after the last couple years, who knows what 2023 is going to look like, from COVID to issues and problems and the world going crazy. Okay, Lord, I don't have to figure that out. All I got to do is say, here it is, Lord. You tell me what you want me to do. Here it is, Lord. It's yours. And as some that are younger, they feel like they have their whole life ahead of them. I can accomplish all these things. Yeah, it's hard to see that. As I get older, I realize, you know what? You know, it's more about what God can do, not what I can do. And I know some of you are older and can't do much anymore, and you're not able to accomplish as much as you used to, and you're like, the only way I'm going to make it is if it's God that helps me. And that's the point where we need to get to. I need God to accomplish anything he's going to accomplish for his will and for his glory. Now, these are my children. Lord, they're yours. You gave them to me. What is it? How do you want me to raise them? This is my church. Lord, this is the church you brought me to. What is it you want me to do? How do you want me to serve? This is my family. This is my husband. This is my wife. Lord, what is it that you want me to do in this relationship for this person, for this moment, for this time? And just begin asking yourself, what is it that God would want me to do? 2023, is it your year? It's my year. Huh? It's the year I'm going to accomplish this great thing. It's the year I'm going to set the world on fire. It's the year, okay, great. Those are great ambitions, but is it what God wants you to do? It's your year, Lord. You lead and direct me. We all know it begins with reading our Bible, praying, being here at church. We all know it begins with keeping our heart right. We all know it's reaching out to others. We all know it's, we know the list of some of the things. So let's start there. And then begin to say, okay, God, how do you want me to handle the situation? What is it you want me to do? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts today about these both messages, about being in the right spot. We can be in the right spot spiritually and miss out because we're carnally minded. And we take the right spot and even sometimes make a lie. Don't care about how it affects others, but we just want to protect ourselves. Lord, help us not to believe the lie the devil tells us. That it's our life, we can do what we want, we're not hurting anybody. Lord, in your scriptures, you tell us that it's not our own. We have been bought with a price. So therefore, glorify God in your spirit and in your body. They belong to you anyway. Lord, so I pray today that we would give deep consideration to not just saying these words, but meaning it. Lord, it's 2023, and I want this year to be the year that I allow you to use me whatever way you want. Here's my year. Here's my life. Lead and direct me, Lord. Whatever that looks like, however I can figure that out, I want to do that with all my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.